What's up, everybody? This is Justin Politi, and you're listening to The Rookies. This is going to be an inside look at Columbus Level's 2020 season in the Pro Division. First, I'd like to thank our sponsors, obviously, Level Up Sports in Columbus, Ohio, Dave Pando, big shout out. If you haven't been over there and, you know, you're within driving distance, I would highly recommend getting over there. They have tons of rec and scenario fields, huge castle, woods fields, hyperball fields. They also have a turfed in, you know, speedball field for the tournament players. Overall, you know, excellent facility, fully stocked pro shop, excellent staff. Located in Columbus, Ohio, so definitely check that out. Also like to thank Dye for, you know, hooking us up with the best gear in the game, Valken Paintballs, best paint in the game, and most recently, New Balance. So we will have custom shoes out next year, so, you know, look for those on the webcast. So the reason I'm doing this podcast is because I obviously love podcasts. As a paintball player, I spend a lot of time in the car. I live very far from the team. I live in Boston. The team's obviously based in Ohio. I drive to practices at PAP down to play Revo, and I fly into Ohio for practices. So I spend a lot of time by myself listening to podcasts. And I'm doing this particular one because I think there's kind of a void right now in the paintball podcasting world. The last, you know, really the only podcast going on right now is Carl's. His last podcast was with Anthony Vitale, who runs Boston Paintball, who I actually also worked for all of last year to help subsidize my paintball season. So shout out to Boston Paintball, personal sponsor. Everyone thinks that the Level guys are fully funded. And with this merger, people are like, oh, these teams with deep pockets, you know, they can just, you know, do what they want. But that is not the case at all. Our guys pay for almost all of it out of pocket. We do get some help, you know, from the sponsors I've listed above, you know, or previously here as in the beginning of the podcast, but it's not a free ride. You know, we're paying for practice paint, paying for entry, paying for event paint, paying for flights. I fly myself to practice. It's, you know, it's not all, the paintball dream out there, but, you know, we're doing the best to make it the paintball dream. And we appreciate the support along the way. And, you know, maybe that people aren't doing paintball podcasts because it's all been done. Maybe they're just not that interesting. I know the paintball podcast with Zap was going on for a long time. I like that one. J-Rab and Nick LaValle had one, and I was really excited for them, you know, to keep doing that. They only produced a couple episodes, though, which is kind of a bummer because you have two guys at the top, top of the league on a top team who have tons of knowledge, and they are basically the epitome of professional paintball, right? They're paid to play, and that's kind of where everyone wants to be. You know, every kid growing up is like, I want to do this full-time. As you get older, you realize that is probably not a realistic approach. So I'm going to get a 9-to-5, do this on the weekends with my friends. So, you know, in the podcasting world, that would have been really cool, I thought, to have, you know, J-Rab and Nick LaValle continue that, because I think they have a lot of information, a lot of knowledge to give out. And kind of when you're at the top, it's kind of cool just to get a top-down view. So, yeah, that's kind of why I am doing this podcast. I also feel like a lot of people don't really know all the players on, you know, the second half of the league. If you're like in the top, you know, 8 teams, 10 teams, people probably know almost the whole roster. And I feel like maybe with the second half of the teams that people just don't know them as much. So hopefully this will give everybody an opportunity to get to know us a little bit better and kind of what we're about. And hopefully I'll be able to get some other pro players on here too, who maybe don't have like huge name recognition. So, you know, I know people from, I feel like New York Extreme actually has some pretty big name recognition, but people from the other teams that are just not always on Sunday that maybe you just want to hear, you know, a different story that you don't always see, you know, portrayed. So that's kind of, you know, the overarching reason for the podcasts. So the news dropped Tuesday. Today I'm recording this. It's the 12th. It's Thursday. News dropped Tuesday that we were merging with PC Katana, and also that we are changing the name to Columbus Level. As expected, ton of controversy about that. This is the second merger this year. NRG merged with Boom, which I don't know if people just didn't care about, but maybe I just wasn't on Facebook, which actually I know I wasn't on Facebook because I just got back on this week to talk about this. I feel like there was not a lot of controversy. Maybe people were like, yeah, that's kind of weird. But nobody really seemed to bat an eyelash. And then this happens and the paintball internet just goes crazy. My whole feed is filled with both posts about how awesome this is for our camp from all of our supporters and an equal amount of posts for, you know, what the actual fuck is happening, and a lot of hate. Some people recanted those statements of hate and said, well, we're not hating on the level players, or the NRG players. We are hating on how this was allowed to happen. Interesting. I thought TJ Danner said it best, quote from him here. They could have just said Katana picked up a bunch of level players and everyone would be okay with it. Not going to lie that if I was in charge of the team, and which I'm not, and could have done it one way or the other, I probably would have gone with that approach, and just silently maybe slid into the pro division and then pulled the, you know, the Revo 187 and change our name to 187 after 1 year of being Katana, which I feel like is the right thing to do. Not really basing that on any facts or anything, you know, right versus wrong. I'm just saying, I feel like, you know, if you're going to merge the franchise, keep the franchise name, put whatever players you want on it, because that's how it's always seems to be done. And then after a year, okay, the team selected to change their name. They didn't get relegated because they didn't get dead last. They can now change it to X, X being Columbus level. That's my thoughts on it. Nick Slowiak also chimed in. Teams merging is nothing new in paintball. One side is going to prevail there. 187 and Revo essentially merged, which I just mentioned. And now look where they are at. I don't think there should be any fault or ruling on that aside from the name, which is also kind of what I said there. I don't know all the details, but it sounds like Chris took steps to ensure he and his team survive and can be competitive. So, yeah, obviously I chose two positive or more positive statements to read out of a huge amount of posting that it was, I'll say it was 50-50. It depends, you know, what post to read. Also, a lot of good memes out there. I do appreciate it. Not one to not laugh at a good meme. But I guess, you know, the pro paintball roster for a while, I think, has kind of been up for, at least, I guess, with the bottom half of the teams. A lot of teams have had rotating rosters. So the team obviously most affected by this is Elevation, who does not get to, you know, have a chance to retain their spot because Katana is now not folding. They're merging. But if you look at the Elevation roster, there's only two Elevation players on it from when they were, you know, the Elevation that, you know, quote unquote, won the pro spot during the expansion, which was DMG won the pro spot. The expansion brought in NYX, Elevation, and the ML Kings. So during that expansion, all those Elevation players come up. They, you know, had about as good a year as you can have as a rookie team. A lot of their players got poached. Team, you know, rebuilds, kind of like Aftershock did for years, rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. And you're left with two original Elevation players. So, yeah, the name is Elevation. Yeah, they were, you know, they earned a pro spot. They were, I think, the fifth place team. And I think the fourth place team, like, folded that particular year. So Elevation was able to come in. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong, but I do believe that's what happened. And so the discussion really is like, what constitutes a pro roster? How much turn can you have in a roster from year to year? Because it's about the franchise, right? So, you know, in regular professional sports, let's say Cleveland Cavaliers, for example, I'm from Cleveland, so I'll pick a Cleveland team. They're not the same team that won the championship when LeBron James was there. And, you know, even though they're still the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's just, you know, Kevin Love, is he the only last player? I don't really follow basketball, but the point is there's a totally different team. Same with if you look at the movie Moneyball. New ownership comes in, completely guts the roster, brings in all new players. Yeah, there's still the the Oakland Athletics, but it's a completely different team. So when you kind of put that to paintball, it's like, what model are we going to follow? The model that's been in place has been, if you win semi-pro, you go pro. But that has only been the model in a couple of recent years. You know, if you go back, 10 years, you could buy a pro spot, quote unquote. You could, you could get absorbed in an expansion like Elevation did, like the ML Kings did, like NYX did. And there's been a couple different routes. As an individual player, you could get picked up onto a pro team. So it hasn't always been, you have to win the semi-pro league to come up, to my knowledge. There's several different ways you can make it, over the course of paintball history to the pro division. And I guess, obviously, under the current format, the whole merger thing has just kind of happened this year. But I guess that's just the most recent example of it. And so people are freaking out, I guess rightfully so. But either way, the Columbus Level guys are pretty stoked to be getting this opportunity. We are not going to take it lightly. We're not going to come in like cocky. We're not going to come in hot-headed. We're going to come in and try and, prove that, hey, yeah, we were given this shot. Maybe it's controversial, but these are the cards we've been given to play. It's just like, this just kind of happened. The team was like, okay, that's what's happening. And here we are. This is the end result. It's not like this was, some like nefarious plan or anything by the Columbus Level players to weasel their way in or anything. It was just kind of like, hey, this is what's going on next year. There you go. So here we are. And I think one of the more interesting things about, the whole pro roster is that we don't have a traditional draft system. It's not like you come up from college, okay, you're going to go, who's the top pick in the NFL draft? Well, it's this guy this year. But we don't have that in paintball. Because if you look at how long some of the pros have been playing in the sport and how long you can play for and, knock on wood, not sustain any like real injury. Like, yeah, you get sore, twist an ankle, maybe blow out a shoulder dislocate. You get beat up. But it's not like you're out here getting like CTE. You're not a 300-pound linebacker smashing into like an offensive lineman, trying to blitz a quarterback and getting your whole body destroyed. If you look at, some of the pros like Ryan Greenspan, he's been playing since he was a teenager. Still at the top of the game. Dynasty still Sunday every single time. Always a top contender. He's not showing any signs of retirement. I mean, what other sport other than baseball or golf can a player play for as long as professional paintball players can play for? Obviously, not every professional paintball player can play the length of time that others can because, money. We're not all being paid for this. Most people, I would say, most people are paying for themselves, even at the pro level. Pros still, not all pros, but some pros, it comes out of pocket. We don't all have huge funding. And that obviously makes it tougher to compete at that level, but it also makes it tough to, for these people that aren't retiring, it makes it tough to get into the level as well. A bit of a roundabout there, but, you get what I'm trying to say. And the point is we don't really have a unified way of going pro that has been consistent year on year. So that could be something for discussion. But our sport changes every year. I mean, we just went from, we went from regular X-ball to split deck. People threw an uproar. I personally love split deck now. We went from, this one's kind of strange, went from sup air to air ups, back to sup air. That was just announced today, I believe. Also, the NXL dates came out today. So if you haven't checked those out, check those out. So there's constant change in the sport. I don't know if there's rule book change from year to year. There probably is. I don't really know of a lot of players that read the rule book. I'm going to be honest. Does anyone read it? Some people do. The captains usually do. You know, everyone's got that one guy on their team that's like, oh yeah, I'm going to read this whole thing and I'm going to know all these rules. So when we get screwed, which we definitely will, speaking for every paintball player, by a call, I'll know the rules. So everyone should have that guy if you don't. Ours is Josh Lehman. Definitely get yourself one. But yeah, there is constant change in paintball. We went from, you know, 15 balls a second to 10 balls a second. That was too slow. And then we're at 12.5 and then 12.2. And now we're 10.2, 10.5. Gear is always changing. Colors, you know, they were thinking about bringing back pink paint. And now they're, thank God, I hate that stuff. They've gone away from it. They're bringing back 10 man in the woods, which, you know, isn't a new format, but it's a different change in paintball. And, you know, it's obviously been well received. But until there's a real unified way to kind of, I guess, put somebody on the path there. Like I know, for example, if you listen to the Carl Anthony podcast, he's trying to do that with Team USA in BKI paintball. He's like, this is a good path. He mentioned a kid who lived in like the middle of nowhere, Iowa, I think it was, drove 4 hours one way to a paintball field, which when you're young is far. My parents would never have done that for me. He's trying to find a way to kind of unify or like show a path to go pro. And I guess the path we have currently is what Columbus Level did. Started Division 4, you know, 5-man, then played D4X, D3X, D2X, D1 / semi-pro, and now pro. So, you know, obviously we didn't win the pro series, so a lot of people are saying, oh, you didn't earn it. But we also didn't, you know, we've gone through the progressions. We've gone through every division. We have medals from every division. So we've put in the steps on the path that is laid out to make it here. So yeah, maybe it's not the way that everyone else says it needs to be done, or it should be done, or the way it's, you know, supposed to be. But nobody can really say like, oh, they just came into semi-pro, bought their semi-pro, you know, season, bought the pro spot. They didn't put in any groundwork. Yeah, we laid the groundwork. You know, you can look through the roster, pretty much the same five guys, same core guys. Pretty much the whole roster is from, you know, I live in Boston now, but I was, you know, born and raised in Cleveland. Pretty much the whole roster is from that Cleveland area, Cleveland and Pennsylvania, which only about 2 hours apart. Three of us, actually, myself, Josh Lehman, Addison Winstead, all played at the University of Akron. So we all played college ball together. Tyler Doyak, Greg Guerrieri, also played college ball together at Penn State. Ryan Hallwell played at Ohio University. So it's over half of our team that competed in the NCPA, which is pretty cool. I was just talking about the draft system, which we don't have. But I guess when we're playing NCPA, we were like Division III paintball players, so it probably wouldn't have worked out anyway. And then, you know, the rest of our roster, we have Nick Carney, Matt Askren, Logan Arnold, and Danny Schaunauer. So that makes up the 10 level guys, and then coached by Adam Michael from Kent State. So he played college paintball as well. So that's over, you know, that's over half the team from Kent and Akron, about 15 minutes away, playing, you know, college paintball. We're all about within 3 to 5 years of age of each other. So we all kind of came up together, and we've been playing. You know, we started a long time ago. We originally started at Drop Zone, made the move to Level, and just been going at it for a long time. But I guess I'll kind of dive into the last season in our finishes. So the first event, Vegas, we took second. Second event, Texas, took seventh. Third event, Philly, took second. And then we took 2 14ths. So going through the first three events, we only lost one game each time. So that is, sucks to get second place losing in the finals, seventh place losing to AC, they won, second place losing to Tauntauns in the finals. In Chicago, we got knocked out on a penalty, or we would have, you know, been into Sunday. And then at World Cup, just really didn't play great, but we would have been in. It was a bit of a controversial call. Baltimore Nasty runs into the box, 3 seconds left, hits the buzzer, pops off the back of the box. We don't get the point. Baltimore Nasty doesn't get the point. They lose. We get knocked out, or we would have been in. So both of our non-Sunday appearances were just kind of bad luck. Obviously, you shouldn't leave it up to other teams to put you through to Sunday. You should definitely be more dominant than that. But that's just how it goes sometimes. And it just didn't go our way on two calls. So that's all right. For perspective on the NRG Boom merger, NRG finished 8th. I believe we actually beat them in Vegas to knock them out. 9th, 19th, 19th, 15th. So that is just a bit of background on these two teams that are now, quote unquote, merging into the Pro Division with Boom and PC Katana. But I believe that the NRG team is also changing their name from Boom to NRG Elite. So there's that. But overall, I think our team, we're going to come out swinging. And there's not much we can really do to make people that are upset feel better. So, we're not going to do anything about it because we can't. But what we can do is appreciate the memes people are making. I personally like the one that says, it's got Impact, X Factor. They're the two hot girls at the pool. It's got Level wearing the swim cap. The one piece, obviously not the hot girl at the pool. That's going to be, I thought that was a pretty funny meme. I don't think either of those teams have probably even heard of us before. So I was like, yeah, it's a good meme, but those guys were not on their radar yet. So, obviously the goal is to get on their radar, this season. We got to come out. We've been given this opportunity. And now we need to show that we can kind of hang around. And if we can, maybe get lucky, pull an aftermath and, come out swinging, get a really good finish the first event, try and keep that momentum. We don't really plan on losing any guys. We don't plan on any roster changes throughout the season. So hopefully we can kind of build something and hopefully come out swinging the first end of the year before anyone really knows how we play or who we are, and try and carry that momentum as far as we can. Because that seems to be a good working formula for the first event for rookie pro teams entering the pro division, just based on what I've seen. So if anyone has any questions about anything, I'm putting my Instagram in the episode bio, so you can feel free to shoot me a message on Instagram. Definitely answer any questions about Level, about paintball, or just about anything you're really interested in that you think could be interesting for the podcast. This one is obviously a solo podcast. I am going to try and get people on, other pro players, things like that. Obviously, I want to get all my guys on, do an episode with each one of them. Right now, I'm still living in Boston, so until I, move back to Cleveland, I'm going to be flying back and forth to practice. But each practice or each event, I'll try and get either, a different one of my players on, or if we're playing against a pro team, I'll try and get a different pro on, to just kind of talk about whatever's going on in paintball and in life. So this is episode 1. It's my first ever podcast. Hope it's not too terrible. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you're interested, give it a follow. I'm not sure what the schedule for these are going to be yet, until the season starts. Maybe I'll put one out every couple of weeks. Maybe just one a month until the season starts. Now I'll have more to talk about. And, I can talk about some of the other changes too, like the sup air bunkers and things like that. There's tons to rant about with paintball. So maybe if I'm ever just feeling like getting a rant going, I'll just kind of hop back on and rant about any of the topics that are going on in paintball. So if you want to hear some rants, again, drop it in the Instagram messages, and I'll rant about it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it, and I'll catch you next time.